Welcome once again to The Blueprint. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask that you like, comment, subscribe, and share this program. Of course, you can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you will want to do it because today is Budget Day, the day some of us have been waiting for. And to talk about that and, of course, much, much more, we have Jasraj Hallan, the Member of Parliament for Calgary Forest Lawn, also the Finance Critic. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Hey, Jamie. Thanks for having me. It's and within a year, a second time. I must have done something good the last time. So.
Absolutely. I think the ratings went through the roof when you showed up, so we have to have you back on.
Happy to help in any way I can.
And, of course, it's Budget Day today.
That's right.
I think painful for some. We're going to find out how bad the books are or what they project and all that good stuff. But I don't usually do this. I think we're going to start with the clip because we were talking off air how this clip is just cringeworthy, okay? Right. It's the finance minister talking about the budget. Let's get super producer Nick to cue up cut one. Let's play cut one and then we'll get into it.
Right now, for too many young Canadians, the promise of Canada, the kind of Canada that older Canadians came of age in, it doesn't feel like it's working. People can have a good job. They can be working hard, but they are just not sure that's going to lead to a safe and prosperous and secure life, including being able to buy your own home. And that's something that we have to do something about.
Who's been in charge the last 8 or so years when stuff started to get a little rocky? It's like she just woke up and it was like, what's just been happening? What do you make of this?
Jamie, we can finally agree on something with her. Can you believe it? Isn't she kind of saying that Canada feels broken? Isn't that what she got from that clip?
She got around to that, yes.
But of course, after 8 years of the Liberal NDP government, spending more than every government before them combined, causing 40-year highs in inflation, causing the most rapid interest rate hikes that never seen in Canadian history, and then on top of that, slamming on taxes like the carbon tax scam onto Canadians with some of the worst policies, the worst productivity growth that we've ever seen in this country. Of course everyone's going to feel like that. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely right. She just forgot to mention it's after 8 years of her government that we're here now.
Even the prime minister, like there was about a year ago, they were saying almost the effect that Canadians never had it so good. So they finally spoke to a few of their constituents, it seems, realized that, yeah, outside the bubble, life is getting pretty hard. And it's like they just woke up, the prime minister seemed the other day, like, yeah, housing's really bad. It's like, you've been in charge. How is this news to you all of a sudden?
Absolutely. And look, the sad part is that they can deny, deflect all they want, and they can try to blame others for the problems that they've caused. But the reality is that Canadians are the ones paying for the incompetency of this government. We see 2 million people visiting a food bank in a single month, and just this year, 1 million more will visit a food bank. A third of those people are going to be children. Can you believe that?
People are
going hungry in this country. There's people with good paying jobs. She's right. There are people that are doing all the right things that were promised this thing called the Canadian dream. Like immigrant families like mine who came here, or the ones that have lived here their whole life. But that Canada is not Canada anymore to a lot of people. The promise of Canada is not there when you see people with good paying jobs, sometimes in some cases, double income earners in one house, having to go to a food bank or living out of their cars. Some students are living under bridges. This is the reality of incompetent policies of a Liberal NDP government that keeps telling you you've never had it so good over and over again. Yet the reality is it's a complete opposite. We need to reverse course and we need a common sense conservative government under Pierre Poilievre to make sure that we restore that Canadian dream once again.
Even how they've been dealing with it, right? So the first was to deny it was even happening, that people shouldn't believe their lying eyes when they picked up a pack of bacon or a chicken from the grocery store and noticed that the price just keeps going up or the package keeps getting smaller for the same or more price. Like, they denied it. Then they finally came to realize it, and now we're going to see the budget later on today in just a few hours, and we're going to see how the people who promised utopia and only a bit more time, a bit more resources, and we'll get there, will propose the next stage of their plan.
Absolutely. And look, what Canadians can expect from this government's budget is going to be more pain, more debt, more deficit, more false promises. Never forget that this is the same government and Chrystia Freeland who said just 2 years ago that we're on a path to balance a budget. And then she turned around and said, just kidding. She did a complete 180 and said, we'll balance a budget.
In a couple days,
never.
Too, yeah. Yeah.
Never. And that's the track record of this government. But what does that mean? That means that we saw just recently the Bank of Canada had to hold their rates once again.
That's right.
That means they're holding high rates for longer. All those mortgage borrowers or renters or people looking to get into housing, or those especially that are going to renew their mortgages, are devastated by that news. It's a slap in the face of hardworking Canadians who are just looking for some light. But it's the governor of the Bank of Canada that has repeated over and over again, if the government does not stop spending and create these deficits like they keep doing, it's going to be harder and harder for them to bring down these interest rates. The governor of the Bank of Canada has admitted now twice that the government's fiscal policy, their spending, their deficits, and his one lever of increasing interest rates to try to tame inflation are working in opposite directions.
Yeah.
The government is working in opposite direction of what the governor of the Bank of Canada is doing, although it is the governor of the Bank of Canada that also allowed it to get this bad, that let Justin Trudeau print so much money that it got to the point that it is today. And now we see Canada and Canadians are most at risk in the G7 for a mortgage default crisis because of those high interest rates. There's people that are renewing their mortgages at double and sometimes triple the rate. That can be up to $1,000 extra a month that they have to take out of their paychecks, which, by the way, payroll taxes went up January the 1st as well. And on April the 1st, Canadians got slammed with another 23% increase on the carbon tax scam.
I'm glad you brought up the Bank of Canada, because I can imagine the stress that the governor is under when looking at the big picture, right? You have a housing crisis, you have houses being built, but in some cases, owners not able to take possession because the rates have skyrocketed to the point where they can't afford those houses. Some people have lost value on their houses because might have bought for higher rates. All of this and much, much more, all contributing at the same thing. But at the core of it all is the government's fiscal policy that will not allow this relief to come.
Absolutely. On top of Justin Trudeau spending $600 billion, that's more than every government before him combined, that made that inflation rate at 40-year highs, that made, you know, the interest rates go up. On top of that, right now we see the top line inflation number as high as it is. It's above what it should be. One of the contributing factors to that, and when we're talking about the governor of the Bank of Canada that he admitted to, was the carbon tax. The carbon tax contributes to 0.6 of that total inflation number on its own. And any increase in that, like we saw on April the 1st, it's an extra 0.15% on top of that. So when our common sense conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, talks about axing the tax, it's not just making cost of gas, groceries, and home heating less expensive. What it also means is taking that 0.6 plus any increase off of the total inflation number. What does that mean for Canadians and you know, mortgage borrowers? Are that interest rates could come down faster if we got rid of the tax. That's how much pain this carbon tax scam is causing on Canadians. Justin Trudeau and the NDP are absolutely obsessed with this carbon tax scam. Although 70% of Canadians and 70% of premiers are telling them to, first they asked them to spike the hike, but they're against this tax because of how much pain it's causing in their lives.
Absolutely. But the Liberals will say there is no, the increase isn't felt, right? The carbon tax doesn't really do anything. At that point, I say, well, then raise the price of the carbon tax. If you're so confident it doesn't do anything, raise the price and see what happens to the cost of everything, right?
Yeah, well, it goes to a lot of the falsehoods. You know, one of the biggest lies was Canadians get more back in these so-called rebates. Well, the public budgeting officer, the parliamentary budgeting officer, the one that Justin Trudeau appointed, by the way, proved that on average, more Canadian families will be worse off than what they get back in these so-called rebates. And that's why we say so-called, because I'll give you two quick examples. In Alberta, an average family will pay $2,900 into this tax. By the government's own admission, Chrystia Freeland at committee, she said she was bragging about Albertans getting $1,800 back. She is way off on these so-called rebates. And Ontario, where you're from and where she's from, an average family will pay $1,600 into this tax. They only get $1,000 back. So on average, Canadian families are worse off. The second lie was that this is somehow supposed to fix the environment, supposed to fix emissions. Their own government department says, well, we're not even tracking that. And think about it. Why would you? Maybe it's like Trudeau. It's not worth the cost to track it, because they'll see that it's not bringing down emissions. Emissions have not come down. And in fact, Canada fell in the ranking for its climate plan from 58 to 62 out of 67.
Yeah.
We fell in our ranking, yet they brag about this carbon tax that's supposed to leave more money in Canadians' pockets and make us better off with the environment. It's done none of that, except caused more. It's had more economic pain and less environmental gain.
And I think that plays into what we're seeing on the ground in Canada, right? Like, you're having a governing class of people telling you everything's okay, or we'll fix it with another government program. Costs still seem to go up. Taxes seem to go up. Life gets harder and harder. But the governing class is saying, we got this, and nothing is actually happening to better their lives, because you can't tax your way to prosperity.
That's right. You know, it's like the arsonist fireman that lights the fire and has the hose in their hand that says, I'm going to look like a hero, but there's not that much water coming out, so they're trying.
Yeah.
But it's not fixing the fire that, and literally the fire that they're doing, the flames of inflation. They keep pouring more and more fuel on top of it. And that's why interest rates are so high. This is why people can't make payments.
Yeah.
This is why on average more and more people's paychecks are going towards shelter and housing costs. It's because the government keeps on spending money, and the governor cannot lower those interest rates because of that. And then they get the pylon effect of this carbon tax scam, where you're going to charge the tax to the farmer who makes the food. You're going to charge the trucker who ships the food. You're going to put that tax, the same tax, on the people that sell the food. At the end of the day, the Canadians buying food are going to have to pay that tax ultimately. So you're right. They have these so-called solutions, or they call it, these band-aid solutions. But at the end of the day, until Canadians can see lower cost at the gas pump, at the grocery store, on their rent and mortgage payments, they're not really going to see much of a difference in their life. But that can only happen under a common sense conservative government. Under Pierre Poilievre, that's going to axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime.
Let's cue up cut two. In this clip, we're going to hear from Jenna Sudge. She's the Minister of Families and Social Development. Government has a few ways to raise revenue, right? Taxing, printing, borrowing. Those are pretty much it, right? We've seen a combination of all those during the last few years. Of course, you can't really borrow too much more. You can't print anymore. You're going to devalue the currency even more, cause further price inflation as well. So we got to talk about taxes. So let's play cut two and have a listen to what Minister Sudds has to say. Play cut two.
Your government no longer seems to care about budget secrecy. You've announced already seven different measures that it will be in the budget. So why does there need to be any secrecy around taxes?
I don't think there's anything to be said about secrecy, Vachi. I think what you're seeing leading up to the budget is us sharing some of those thoughts, some of those investments as we get closer to budget day. Of course, there'll be more to come come April 16th, and I trust that we'll be able to have that conversation again.
So can I ask you to be clear? Will there be new taxes?
As I said, we'll see the budget as it comes out on April 16th.
So no clear answer at this point on whether or not, I can't say for sure that there won't, to Canadians watching tonight, there won't be any new taxes.
What do you think? The budget's a few hours away.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. The flip-flop. The flip-flop, the backpedaling, the backtracking. Because how can you trust this government? Like I said, they're literally lighting the fire and fueling those flames with more and more inflation.
Yeah.
Look, our message has been clear about what we want from this budget. We want to see them axe a tax, especially Bill C-234, that would take the carbon tax off for our farmers and our food. That's demand number one by Pierre Poilievre. Number two, we need them to cap the spending. We want them to bring in a dollar for dollar law that would help bring down the cost of government spending. We need to cap that spending, or what we call fix the budget. We need to build more homes and not more bureaucracy. We've seen this government shovel billions of dollars and make these grand announcements and photo ops that have created more bureaucracy. They literally are shoveling more money to say, create another department. We want to see action. So we have a real plan. Our leader has tabled that plan, that we want to see municipalities have 15% more permits closed. And if they don't meet that target, it should be just like a salesperson or like a builder. If you can meet the target or exceed it, you will get a bonus in infrastructure funds. If you don't meet it, then we'll withhold that money until that target is met. Because for too long under Justin Trudeau, there's been lots of bureaucracy created and lots of, you know, dangling of lots of money for just these great photo ops beside these ministers. But no homes have been built. And in fact, there's going to be less homes built this year than when in the 1970s when we had way less population. Can you believe that?
That's true. That's
and
true.
Those high interest rates that we keep talking about are stopping builders from building and buyers from buying. So we need to see them axe the tax. We need to see build the homes, and we want them to cap the spending. Simple.
Not for them. And you're used to be a builder in a previous life, so
that's
you know
right.
all about this.
Look, whether you're a builder or everyday Canadian, no one is saying we want more government in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's the path that this Liberal NDP government wants Canada to go down, is have the government control everything you watch, everything you say, everything you do, and what you do with your money. And in contrast, we have a common sense conservative leader, the next Prime Minister, Pierre Poilievre, that wants to give you back your freedom, wants to restore that Canadian dream that everyone either came here for or that's known that their whole life until we've seen 8 years of Justin Trudeau. That is the dream that he is going to restore with a common sense plan to do our four simple things. It will take a lot of work to undo what these Liberals have done, but we will axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime.
Let's free up taxpayers' money from taxation. Let's Canadians put that money to work into the economy. Let's get economic growth happening in this country. Our books under control at the Bank of Canada. Reduce interest rates so that people can afford to be happy again.
That's right. And to your point, productivity has not gone up in this country.
No, it hasn't.
The Bank of Canada literally broke the emergency glass saying this is a huge threat to Canada's prosperity. Our GDP per capita is declining. It's been declining for six straight quarters. It's worse than it was since 2018. And what does that mean? That means Canadians are getting poorer. Mm-hmm. It's because Justin Trudeau and NDP, with their really bad policies, anti-business, anti-growth policies, like their anti-energy, anti-Alberta, anti-any resource policy, has been driving more and more business out of Canada, less investment coming in. Literally, we just saw Greece come here.
Yes, first LNG.
First it was Germany, then it was Japan, now Greece. For some reason, Justin Trudeau cannot find a business case for growth powerful paychecks for our people, but he can sure find a business case to give dollars to dictators abroad that, you know, helps them fuel their wars like we see with Putin and other places that don't have environmental standards like Canada does or human rights standards. This is after 8 years of Justin Trudeau. We need to have common sense back. We need to get Canada looking like it's back and open for business again so that we can get powerful paychecks for our people, get our economy, we can get growth here, productivity. And hey, if we want to help with global emissions, one great way is to replace that dirty dictator oil with clean, low-carbon Canadian energy.
I love it. All right, I got to let you go because budget's coming down. I'm sure you have a lot of things to do, but I do appreciate your time coming out. As you know, the guests get the final word, so take it away.
Jamie, look, I'll say once again, we're going to keep fighting for Canadians, and in this budget, we want them to axe the tax, build the homes and not bureaucracy, and cap the spending. And once we have Pierre Poilievre as the Prime Minister of Canada, we're going to axe the tax, bring down the cost of gas, groceries, and home heating. We're going to build the homes and not bureaucracy by incentivizing municipalities to build, build, build. We're going to fix the budget so that inflation and interest rates can come down and that people don't have to worry about losing their homes by implementing a dollar-for-dollar law. So every dollar spent by any department, they have to find a dollar of saving. That is how we're going to control the spending and get rid of wasteful things like $22 billion in consultants, because the ministers are too incompetent, these liberal ministers, to do their own job. And last, we see all across this country, Jamie, crime, chaos, disorder like we've never seen before. Yeah. We need to bring back solid policies like we saw under the Harper government, and that's what's going to stop the crime. We're going to focus on jail and not bail for repeat offenders, and bring back mandatory minimums so those repeat offenders will stay in jail and not get bail and be relaxed like we see these soft-on-crime policies that have wreaked havoc on our country, where people are saying this is not the same Canada that we knew before. That is the that's the restoring of the Canadian dream that Pierre Poilievre as Prime Minister is going to do.
Sounds like common sense to me.
Common sense. We're going to bring it home.
I love it. Jazzeraz Hallin, thanks very much for coming on the show again. Do appreciate your time. Love your message. And we'll look forward to seeing you really busy in just a few hours dealing with the budget and the fallout from it.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks again. Thank you for your time. And thank you for yours. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share this program. I guarantee you, you did not hear that full message on the mainstream media. So we need eyes and ears to see and hear this message. We need your help to do that. Tell your friends. They can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. You name it, it is out there. New content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next week, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint.